So, Lori, I want to start with you because I want to know how this project came to be. I know it's been a few years in the works, but where did you get this idea?
It was about 10 years ago. My husband, Eddie, and our two daughters, this was before we had our son, we were living in the Cauga Valley National Park. We were the artist in residence for about a year and a half. And just completely immersed in that area, spent all of our free time walking in the woods and walking on the towpath and biking on the towpath. And I just really became intrigued with the landscape and the history of the area and this interesting thing called a canal that was kind of, you know, weaving its way through the woods. And I'm embarrassed to say that I, you know, after living in the area for quite some time, I didn't even know there was a canal that ran through the area. So started reading quite a bit up on the history of the area. And when that happens, that's usually when I start writing songs too. So wrote a couple of songs and thought, gosh, you know, this would be, it'd be really great to do an entire album of original songs about the history of this area at some point. So just kind of set it aside. And then several years later, Jonathan James L. Knight Foundation announced the Knight Arts Challenge Akron. Mm-hmm. They were offering grant money to projects that would enrich the artistic culture of Akron. So because the canal also runs through Akron, and Akron owes much of its early development to the canal, we thought it would be a good fit. So we applied for the grant, and we got it. And that was 2 years ago, and we've been working on it ever since. And when we thought of the idea to have a book of illustrations, we knew that the perfect person for the job was Leandra Drum.
And Leandra, you are here. Can you talk about how you got involved with this and how you envision these songs in an artistic approach?
Yes, I met Lori and Eddie through a project that I did a few years back called Light Up Lantern Festival, which was a arts and entertainment event that took place in the evening on the streets near Akron University. And I asked them if they would be interested in becoming involved with our project as musicians for Hey Mavis to perform at the event. And it turns out that they live just a couple blocks away from me. And they performed at our event, and I fell in love with their band, and we've stayed in touch ever since. I was involved with creating the illustration for their Honeyman Hey Mavis CD cover art. And at that time, I think they mentioned the idea about the canal project. So
I think we said, don't go too far. Right. We'll be back.
Yeah, I didn't hear from them for
back
a while.
For more.
So I thought maybe they moved on to another artist. But they did indeed contact me a couple years back and asked if I would be interested in illustrating the book. And it's not something that I traditionally do. I'm a craftsman by trade. Mm-hmm. So it was a really great opportunity to both work with them and work on the canal project and try my hand at the illustration side. As far as on the second question.
Well, we'll just keep going back and forth. Lori, the canal has a huge history. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many stories that you could find. How did you pick out and find exactly what you wanted to write songs about?
I just kept reading. I would just, I guess I really started off by going to the Special Collections department at the Akron Summit Public Library in downtown Akron. They have a really great collection there. I think they've collaborated with the Summit County Historical Society and the University of Akron and kind of put all their historical collections together, and really interesting pieces. But really, I just read. I just would go to the library, check out all the books on the Ohio and Erie Canal, and sometimes it was a character that really piqued my interest, and I would get all excited about it. Sometimes it was just a certain term, like a word that was maybe common in the canal days that maybe is not used so much now. Sometimes it was an event, mm-hmm. a story. I just kept reading until I had found all of my little interesting tidbits that I could then flesh out into a full song.
So the first song on the album is called 30 Cents.
Uh-huh.
Can you talk about that one?
Sure. The Ohio and Erie Canal, as was the Erie Canal, was all dug by hand. By hand.
Right.
In Ohio, before the canal was dug, was not all farm field. I mean, it was pretty dense with forest. So 309 miles, all dug by hand. It was not easy working conditions. It was not, there was a lot of hardship and illness, long days, and most of the canal was dug by Irish immigrants that had come over from New York after completing the Erie Canal, and then they came over to Ohio and started working on the Ohio and Erie Canal. Something that I had read in many different places is this idea that they were paid about 30 cents a day. Mm. And that's not for an 8-hour shift sitting at a desk or working a desk job, or it was really hard physical labor. Mm. Oftentimes they were working in just muck and water, because they're digging this ditch. Well, it's going to keep filling back up with water. And we all know what likes to breed in water, you know, mosquitoes and other things. But also this idea that at the time they didn't know what malaria was. They just knew that the workers would get sick. They had this idea that if they gave the workers a jigger of whiskey, which is about 1.5 ounces of whiskey every day, that would prevent what they called canal fever.
Yeah.
So it was just this idea, the idea for the song. I just really wanted to kind of drive that point home that, you know, this canal was dug by hand. The workers worked 15, 16-hour days, hard physical labor, and at any given moment, they were at great risk for developing malaria or any of the other unnamed diseases that they all just kind of referred to as canal fever.
Yeah. And as you're describing that and describing the workers, I'm getting a picture in my mind. And then I'm looking at the drawing that Leandra created for this song, and it's just exactly that. It's three men who are obviously canal workers. They have shovels, very distinct features, the mm-hmm. bottle of whiskey. Leandra, can you talk about what went into listening to the song and then creating the artwork that goes with it?
Right. I like to read the history that Lori would provide with each song and then read the song a few times and listen to the music to get a sort of visual of what she's trying to convey through the song and through the history. And then I do some of my own research, visual research. One of the things I remember being taken by was the temporary residence that some of these workers would set up, which were similar to shanty towns, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
makeshift homes.
Towns.
And I, in researching the shanty towns, it was fascinating to see that the homes were made up in a very loving way. So on the outsides of the home, sometimes they'd have family portraits or memorabilia from, you know, their land from which they came. Mm-hmm. And that was an interesting piece. I also was trying to give them, Lori had mentioned that there were a lot of Irish workers. So in the piece, there are, you know, I tried to create sort of that look in the figures, and then looking up some period coins of the time, mm-hmm. and the jigger that's in there. But I also was trying to have the trees sort of cupping the canal ways that were being dug along. They're sort of front and central from the path that they have just finished digging.
And all of the art for this album, they're done in circles.
Yes. I wanted to try to use the circle to... I love to show motion or movement in my drawing, and the canal project, when I think of water or the music and dancing and figures, the circle sort of helped guide that the drawing to force that movement, because you can't put straight legs in a circle, that they have to bend and wind, and it fit when I would listen to the music. And I just kept that format throughout the book for consistency. But it is also sort of a bit of a family trend, I guess, because my father is an artist as well and uses the circle in his sun faces. Mm-hmm. And so it might be coming through the genes.
Yeah. Lori, you introduce us to a character on this album called Miss Uno,
mm-hmm.
and she is quite an interesting lady. Can you explain how that song came to be?
Sure. One of the pieces that they have in the special collections at the Akron Summit Public Library is memoirs of Pearl Nye. He had written, upwards of 500 pages, maybe more. And a gentleman named Terry Woods kind of condensed it down to a more digestible, maybe 200 pages.
Yeah.
So Pearl Nye was, he was born on a canal boat. His family had 18 children, and they all lived on two canal boats that were connected together. So he lived on these two canal boats with all of his siblings and his mother and his father. So he had a lot to talk about as he became a grown man. One of the characters that he mentioned in his memoirs was Miss Uno, and she was a snake charmer lady who had her own canal boat. And she would travel up and down the length of the Ohio and Erie Canal, and she would stop in towns and do little sideshows, and that's how she supported herself. So one of her tricks was that she had on her boat, she had cages of all these trained snakes. So she would release her trained snakes into the woods, and then later on in the day, walk up and down the towpath with her little mouth harp harmonica, and all the snakes would come out of the woods and come to her, which, you know, children were fascinated. The adults, the parents were completely freaked out and thought she had all these occult powers and wanted their children to stay away from her. And the description, how he described how she looked, was so fascinating. She had this big halo of mossy blonde curls that sat atop her head, and she had black and red striped wool stockings, had tassels on her canal boat, her showboat. And I mean, when I saw that, I thought, okay, this definitely has to be a song, and I cannot wait to see Leandra's illustration for this song.
Honestly, the illustration is mesmerizing because you see Miss Uno and snakes making up her hair. She has a snake wrapped around her. And Leandra, one thing about these drawings is they're so detailed. You could stare at this drawing for a good 10 minutes just looking at all of the little things that you included in there. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, hopefully it will draw the viewer in as, you know, I love the material that Lori provided. Of course, as she said, Miss Uno was certainly a snare for me. I love the fact that she found material that can draw in the audience and engage them to ask questions about our Kanawhai history. I love Miss Uno. And in that drawing, I was, you can see, well, of course you can't see on radio, but I portrayed Captain Nye with in this tiny boat, and his head is a little larger with the idea that he's looking back on an event that he absolutely fell in love with as a child. And between them, there's a sort of a rope heart knot. Miss Uno was just a fantastic character to work with. As Lori said, the wool striped stockings and the pantaloons and the wild moss hair was just a character I could imagine existing in today's world. So I loved working on that piece, and it's also a wonderful song.
So cool. It's just beautiful to me. Lori, what's another song that you want to talk about? I'm gonna let you pick one.
Oof. Okay. Well, I think I'd like to talk about Dearest Place.
Okay.
I love all of Leandra's illustrations. I think that there's so much in that illustration going on. It really makes me very happy.
Wow.
So once again, the character of Pearl Nye. This was a song, out of all the songs on the album, I think I struggled with this one the most, because through all my reading, Pearl Nye was a character that kept coming up, and such a big character within our canal history. And there's also a bit of, I don't know what to say, I don't want to say arguing, but a bit of a maybe attitude about him being referred to as Captain Pearl Nye. Because in the canal days, you were only a captain if you owned a canal boat. And Pearl Nye, as far as I could read up on, never actually owned a canal boat. After his father passed away, then his mother owned the boat, or boats, plural. But he had such a deep love for the canal. He never really left the canal, even after it closed down and wasn't really being used anymore. He did leave Ohio for a little bit of time and was a hobo hopping trains, but he could not stay away from the canal. He had to come back. He just loved it so dearly. He ended up using an old canal boat on the side of the canal and turned it into his home. He called it Camp Charming. Huh. And so he lived in an old canal boat. And I really wanted to try and capture that love that he felt for the canal, for his childhood. He loved being raised on the canal. And we think about that now and we think, oh my gosh, that sounds like torture. I can't imagine living on two canal boats with 18 children.
Right?
He loved it. And he, when he, in his memoirs, in the recordings that are on the Library of Congress website, you can just feel the love that he had. And that's a little intimidating as a songwriter to try and communicate that to your listening audience.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like I was responsible for trying to relay his emotions to today's audience. So I actually Pearl Nye, one of the many songs that he wrote, had 80 verses. And I really wanted somehow to work in not all 80,
right?
But just two. So I took the first two verses of his song and tacked them on to the end of this song. And I wanted to both communicate some of his life story and the emotional attachment that he had for the canal. And then one other thing I did too was I actually I took a recording of Pearl Nye, one of his Library of Congress recordings, and we tacked it on to the beginning of the song. So at the beginning of the song, it just starts with Pearl Nye singing, and then I come in singing. So for, you know, 5 or 8 seconds, we're both singing, and we're singing different songs, but he's singing about the canal, and I'm singing about him, and I'm just really happy with how that song turned out. And that song, I think, took me the longest to write out of all of them because I was so, I just felt this great responsibility to try and communicate that. And then Leandra's drawing, I mean, she just, she
beautiful.
Captured all these beautiful elements. And
it's got the kids in it.
I know.
Right, not all 18.
Not all 18.
Could be represented in the drawing. But yeah, I sort of feel like there was this kinship or parallel between Lori and Captain Nye as they went through the experience of writing songs about the canal. And maybe that's why, you know, there was sort of that, as you said, responsibility to write, to get that right or get that feel.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea that 18 kids were crammed on two canal boats, and that the mother might have, in the imagery, I portrayed the mother as, you know, in her apron and working, but still she has an accordion in her arms and she's playing music, because the kids' life experience on the boats was one of adventure and fishing and snow and rain, and they saw it in a very positive way, this moving home. So I tried to capture some of that in the imagery. And then at the top is, you know, the Pearl Nye in his senior years reflecting back on those times. And there's music coming from his mouth to represent the song and the words.
I have to hear this a little bit. Can we listen to this for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Not the right thing. Nope. Oh, here we go.
Great lakes, but a trip on these canal boats, you bet, takes the cake.
I don't know if you can hear that or not. Probably not, huh?
The fighting dog's neck, and the flies, they play tag with the cook on the deck. The potatoes, she'll burn at the coffee boil, or the fume nearly choke you so greasy the floor. The cook room's a limit, you must eat or die, and when it's all over, you laugh till you cry.
I was born on a canal boat called the Reform. It was a year 18.
That is beautiful.
Thank you.
I mean,
that's the one song on the album that my husband always cries when he listens to.
I was just going to say, that made me a little emotional. It's a really powerful thing when you can make history come alive in song.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the past with the present. That's really, really something special.
Thank you.
What else do you want to talk about? I want to talk about, it's called Silver Ribbon Dream.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a reference to a song on the album.
It is.
What does that mean?
Well, once again, Pearl Nye, my buddy, referred to the canal as his little silver ribbon. And actually, in that song, Dearest Place, that's in one of the two verses. He says, there's a little silver ribbon runs across the Buckeye State. And I loved the visual of that because I felt like I really needed needed to balance the album out, the project out, because there's some songs in here that deal with some kind of ugly stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was death, there was disease, and I wanted to capture that aspect of it. That, yep, the canal meant progress, but it was progress on the backs of people who subjected themselves to unknown illnesses, horrible working conditions, and not great pay. But I, you know, I didn't want the whole project to be doom and gloom, so I also wanted to capture the other side of it, that it was this really beautiful thing, too. So that visual of this little silver ribbon that runs all the way through the state of Ohio, I thought was a great way to kind of balance that. And Silver Ribbon Dream is a song on the album. And it's really just a fictitious song about a family that sells their land to the canal so that the canal can run through their property, and they buy a canal boat. And so it's sung by the perspective of this little boy whose family sells off their land, and he's the mule skinner. His father's the captain, his mama's the cook, and he dreams one day of being a canal boat captain. So that's Silver Ribbon Dream. I thought it was a great title for the whole project, and once again, Leandra's illustration for, you know, the Silver Ribbon Dream song, I thought was a very beautiful illustration to have on the cover.
I think that comes across in the artwork, because in some of the faces, you can see these people are tired. They look stressed and very worn. But then there's also so much hope, also sun shining. It's a nice kind of perspective to see both sides of this.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I guess my little confession on Silver Ribbon Dream is that when I was drawing that imagery, I kept seeing a little bit of Eddie and Lori and Roscoe, although I wasn't able to include their two beautiful girls. But I did feel, whether it was sort of subliminal in my mind, that the characters ended up representing them as well as the characters of the past. And in the stories, she also tells that they had trades that did not just revolve around being on the boat on the canalways, but also what they did, whether it was, chopping the wood and carrying the lumber down the canalways. So the father in that image, his hair is made of the trees that represent the land. And I believe the mother has water in her hair. Uh-huh. And the song also talks about, I thought, the first snow. So I included the snowflakes and the boy skating on the lake the canal.
Yeah.
But so I tried to show some of that. And the parents are tied together with a body of water that represents the canal.
Just beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Like I said, the drawings are so intricate. There are little details in every corner and inch of these drawings. It's really something special.
I've looked at the drawings many, 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 many times. And every time I find something that I hadn't noticed before. So I'm very excited.
So Lori and Leandra, this has been a long process that you're completing.
Mm-hmm.
What's the feeling to get this done? The music and the artwork, what does this feel like?
Ask me on October 13th when everything is in nice little boxes in my living room. I mean, it feels really good. I'm very, I'm thrilled. You know, anytime you start a project, you have you have a vision. You have an artistic vision of what it's gonna be, and it never is exactly what you thought it was gonna be. And this isn't exactly what I thought it was gonna be. I feel like it's even better than I thought. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think I truly could have envisioned how beautiful everything looks. And I'm also really happy with how the music has turned out. We have this has been an amazing collaboration with Leandra, with my band, Eddie Kaner, my husband's on fiddle, and our drummer, Anthony Tadeo, and our bass player, Brian Thomas, and David Mayfield did the recording and sneaks in a little bit on the microphone in
nice.
Some places. So it feels amazing. It really does. There's still, you know, a couple of things that we're, you know, finishing up. So, you know, we don't have the books yet. We don't have the CDs yet, but they'll be coming in a few weeks. So,
yeah,
but it feels really great. It really does. I was very happy. There were several times in the project where I kind of felt, I don't think I have anything else to say. I don't know what else to write about. I don't have anything else to say. And, you know, as with anything else, you just got to keep moving forward and go back to the library and get another book out and just keep digging.
For 30 cents.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's when we keep digging and digging and digging that we really find within ourselves and within other people that those little gems that we would have missed if we just gave up.
Wow. Leandra, what do you have to say? I mean, what's this experience been like for you?
I feel that every project is a process. I often compare it to a hill or maybe a mountain. I don't know which. This was a very different project for me because I am by trade a craftsman, so illustration was new territory for me. And in some ways, I did feel nervous about whether or not I could find the visual that would complement Lori and Hey Mavis's songs and musical material. I sort of look at this, or I like to think of it's exploring history with a spoonful of musical sugar. But we did reach, you know, coming up the hill, it was a run and we were excited, and then midway through the process lost a little steam with, you know, the holidays and family events, and then coming back around to the project and falling in love with it all over again. And then we reached the end where we're just about there, and we had a few things that we just wanted to work to make this right for both of us, and then feeling completely excited and in anticipating the final outcome of the piece. And actually on the way here, I was in the car listening to the music, getting excited about the project.
It's truly a remarkable project, and it's a piece of living history is really what it is, through song and through the visuals. Are you hoping that that's the goal?
Definitely.
This can be preserved and enjoyed by people to also learn and take in the art. Mm-hmm. How can people get a copy?
Well, we're actually going to release the book and CD. They come together. Our first release show is October 13th at the GAR Hall in Peninsula. And then we also have a release show October 18th at the First Congregational Church in Akron.
Yeah.
And then we have release shows scheduled for out of town, but then we come back and we're doing a release show November 3rd at the Kent Stage. So at some point in that time, I will put them on our website too, but, for October, they mainly will be available for sale at our release shows until I get them posted on our website, because this is a home-based operation.
Yeah. Right. Oh, and I'm hopeful that we'll see them at some local venues, so that...
Definitely. Yeah, there's different stores that we'll be putting them in, but I don't know if that's going to happen right away.
Right. Well, and the Muscle Store.
It would be
a great opportunity.
Yeah.
Because actually the song Kitchen Dance revolves around the story of the Muscle Store.
Mm-hmm.
But
We could talk about it for another 3 hours. Well, Lori and Leandra, congratulations on this project. It's truly stunning, beautiful. And is there anything else either one of you want to say or talk about that we've missed?
The only thing I think is again, I would just like to reemphasize that it's just a wonderful opportunity to explore our canal history. And although it's not all detailed history, it's an exciting way to read about and listen to some of the highlights and some of the more challenging parts of, you know, the building of the canal and getting to know the people. And so it's not going to tell you every single detail about the canalways, but I think it does open up that conversation. And I'm excited about the project and interested to see how people respond to it.
I think it'd be lovely, too, if people used it as a springboard to, I mean, in almost every song I mention some landmark in Akron or some story that happened in Peninsula or an event that happened. And I would love for people to... Huh, the Muscle Store, where's that? We've never been there. Or, huh, Johnny Cake Lock. Let's go find that lock. Let's go see where this happened. In one of the stories I mentioned, W.J. Payne, who was one of the Akron's best-known canal boat builders. Oh, let's look up W.J. Payne, who was this guy. I think it'd be really lovely if it really did ignite that a bit for people to get out there and go explore and find these places, put a leash on your dog and start walking, grab your kids, grab your buddies and go explore and go find some of these places, because they're right there. Yeah. I mean, they're right there underneath our feet. You just got to go find them.
Right. And we sort of talked about the opportunity to, you know, creatively continue the project too, that I'm a craftsman and so I can't help but suppress those ideas to create other pieces based on that. So when you mentioned Johnny Cake Lock, that spurred my original idea of, I was just reading about Johnny Cakes and I'm like, oh, what are Johnny Cakes? And so as I was researching that, I thought, wouldn't it be great to create a plate that with the printed image and have an event in which we serve Johnny Cakes as we float down the canal?
Oh my gosh.
And then I'm like, posters. So yeah, the idea... hole is
the
hard to
keep
close.
Rolling.
Yes.
I was going to say that. I'm so intrigued by all that. I like it. I love
but
it.
But by all means, you need to listen, come out, and hear one of the performances. They're just fantastic. And that's been an exciting part for me, is to be able to be an audience member for the performances.
Well, like I said, congratulations to you both.
Thank
what a
you.
Project.
Thank
and thanks
you.
For joining me.
Thanks for having us, Amanda. I appreciate your time.